In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, the joy of this holy season of Paschaltide continues on a somewhat continually more and more sobering trajectory. Towards our Lord's departure from this earth in the ascension. After having benefited for some time now from the presence of Jesus Christ in their midst, since his glorious death and resurrection, he reveals to his apostles the somber news that he will not remain with them, at least not in his current form. There will be, however, one who will remain with them. He will not leave them orphans. Our Lord explains in the words we have just heard what will transpire. Speaking of the Holy Ghost, he says, "And when he is come, he will convict the world of sin, of justice, and of judgment. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will teach you all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but what things soever he shall hear, he shall speak, and the things that are to come, he shall show you." This Spirit of truth is, of course, the Holy Ghost. Sacred Scripture gives witness of his existence from the very foundation of the world in the book of Genesis, which tells us that when the earth was void and empty, the Spirit of God moved over the waters. From the very beginning, we see that the Holy Ghost has a direct role in the creation and the ordering of the world. He can truly be called the soul of the church. He is its life-giving principle who speaks through the church's magisterium in her solemn pronouncements on matters of faith and morals. In the sacraments, it is this divine spirit who affects the graces signified by their matter and form. It is the Holy Spirit who gives the waters of baptism their saving power, who seals our souls as soldiers of Christ in the sacrament of confirmation. When the penitent kneels and confesses his sins, it is this Spirit of God who, through the ministry of the priest, remits or retains the sins. It is furthermore the Holy Spirit who continues the work of sanctification, of being made holier, the work in our souls. It is by the Holy Ghost that our soul is made capable of seeing God in heaven. If we are to sustain our soul in a state of grace for the duration of earthly life, a spiritual combat will ensue and will last until our dying breath. We will need the help of those faculties, those forces for good known as the virtues, chiefly faith, hope, and charity. And these are given to us by the Holy Spirit. But the third person of the Holy Trinity does not limit himself to these three. He gives us as well the moral virtues of prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude, which help clear the way, as it were, to the obstacles which prevent the flourishing of God's divine life within us. Lastly, he gives us those supernatural aids known as his gifts, the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost: wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, fear of the Lord. By these, our state of adoption as children of God is brought to perfection. The Holy Ghost, as it were, after having given us the virtues, comes and guides by his divine hand our souls, so that every step of the way we would receive his inspirations for every particular circumstance. Original sin has so damaged our nature that even in a state of grace, and with the aid of the virtues, we are in constant need of his aid, and he does not withhold it. The Holy Spirit is only capable of effecting this work in the church in our souls because, as our Lord tells us in the Gospel of this Mass, he is the Spirit of truth who will convict the world of sin, of justice, and of judgment. So it is for this reason that, in addition to our devotion to, of course, our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, which are indispensable, and to our patron saints, we should all, each and every one of us, have a strong devotion to the Holy Ghost and invoke his aid often. It will be the Holy Ghost who will convict us in our hearts when we know that we have sinned. And it will be through him that, on the last day, our Lord will speak these words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Conversely, it will be through the Holy Ghost that our Lord will speak these words, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, into the joy of the kingdom prepared for thee from all eternity." You may perhaps say, "But have we not already received the Holy Ghost and the sacrament of baptism, and furthermore, been sealed with him, by him, in the sacrament of confirmation? Why would we speak of continuing to receive him?" Well, this is true, but we can always receive him more abundantly. We can always receive from him clearer light, greater strength. He can always console us even more than he already has. He can always kindle in our hearts a more intense love of God. The fruitful working of the Holy Ghost in our souls, moreover, can be renewed not only on the Feast of Pentecost, but each time we receive a sacrament. He comes to dwell in us, he remains to help us become holier, and he leaves us only when we have the misfortune to drive him from our souls by mortal sin. So let us follow St. Paul's counsel and not grieve the Spirit, as he puts it, by any fully deliberate fault or by willfully replying with a no to the good that he suggests to us. We can only gain by remaining faithful to the Holy Spirit, who comes with the Father and the Son to make his abode in our souls. Remember that St. Paul calls each and every one of the baptized the temple of God, insisting that God's own Spirit dwells in us. Each increase of grace is like a new reception of the Holy Ghost. Considering that we have nothing to boast of when it comes to our own merits, this should be of an immense consolation to us. All of our sins, all of our weakness, all of our negligence, all of our lack of ability, this is no obstacle to God, who comes and makes his presence in us so that we don't have to rely on our own strengths, paltry as they are, but on his infinite power. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.